Christina Lake Cannabis is using proprietary outdoor genetics to grow and harvest cannabis in Western Canada. And with a 99-acre expansion, production should increase from nearly 72,000 pounds to a harvest capacity of over 194,000 pounds of high-quality, refined cannabis to extract exceptional THC and CBD oils. This cannabis highlight has been brought to you by Christina Lake Cannabis, U.S. trading symbol CLCFF and Canada CLC. ChristinaLakeCannabis.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye in the World. I'm John Batchelor. Commercial space. Bob Zimmerman is here. He keeps the website Behind the Black. And Bob, for years, has been very carefully explicating the rise of commercial space, making money in space, providing alternatives and competitions for low Earth orbit, for beyond, for rocket boosters, for satellites and nanosatellites. And now commercial space is so successful, it's spread to Moscow. Bob, a very good evening to you. I'm not going to credit you with this, but I'm going to say you participated in the connection between making money in America and Roscosmos. What is Glovcosmos? Good evening, Bob.
Good evening, John. Glovcosmos is basically a subdivision within Russia's space agency, Roscosmos. And Roscosmos is, it's a corporation, but unlike in the United States, that space agency controls Russia's entire aerospace industry, everything. Everything within aerospace is controlled by Roscosmos. And so if they want to make money, they create a division and have that division do things for them, or they have a manned space division that does that for them. But everything is run through the government. Roscosmos created Glovcosmos, and it has just released a new website touting their skill and their experience for launching tourists into space. And it says on their website, let me read, "Do you dream of space travel and admire the universe? Today, Glovcosmos can make your dream come true." And then they outline all the opportunities they provide if you wish to buy a ticket to go to space. You can go to ISS for 30 days if you want, stay up there in the laboratory that long. You can do spacewalks for them if you wish. You can do science if you want to do it. They'll work with you on that. You can even purchase the Soyuz space capsule that takes you to and from the station. So when you come home, you have a nice lawn ornament you can put up in front of your mansion that said you flew on that into space. Now, I should point out that Russia is not a new player in space tourism. In fact, they are the first. They beat America by 20 years in putting tourists into space to make money. In fact, back in the late 90s, when Dennis Tito wanted to go into space as a tourist, he couldn't go to NASA, so he went to the Russians, and the Russians wanted to make money, and he had the cash. And so they flew him and then a following seven other private citizens into space. And in fact, NASA at that time resisted strongly and tried to prevent it from happening. What, American participate in commercial private capitalism? We can't have that. So Russia's not new to this, but what Russia now faces that is new is heavy, heavy competition. Because not only does SpaceX have a capsule and is launching commercial passengers to space, but you've got two suborbital companies in the United States that offer the same thing, and you've got Boeing just on the horizon with its Starliner capsule, and that's just on the horizon. Just beyond that horizon is Sierra Space's Dream Chaser manned version of their shuttle, and on the horizon also are private space stations. Axion's building one, Sierra Space wants to build one, Nanorax wants to build one. And so Russia's under big competition. So they have their own commercial flights coming up of tourists in this fall, but they put together this website to try to sell the idea, hey, you can fly with us, and we'll give you more than either SpaceX or Axiom can give you. What they don't tell you in this announcement, John, is what they'll charge. Now, obviously, if you call them up, there's big money going on here, you ask, and they'll tell you. And then you can then price compare with what SpaceX will charge or Axiom will charge for their flights, and you can pick and choose. And so there's competition here. That's going to lower the cost, and it's going to encourage innovation. And what the Russians here have done, John, is a perfect example of innovation, because they are offering longer flights and more exciting things to do in space than so far either what Axiom or SpaceX is offering, because they're allowing longer missions on space station, and you can do spacewalks. And they are also into selling the capsule, so it's pretty cool.
SpaceX, the original great success of commercial space. Gosh, Bob, it seems like a long time ago when we were questioning whether SpaceX's Falcon 9 would fly, and now they're getting ready Starship to do what? What's next for Starship?
Well, okay, we know that they've had this developmental program, very aggressive, down in Boca Chica, Texas, near the tip, southern tip of the state, and they've done a number of short, 6 mile high hops with a variety of Starship prototypes. Well, the last prototype, number 15, did a successful flight up and down and landed successfully. And when that was done, there was a lot of speculation. Maybe they'll fly it again right away to prove it can do it, can be reused. Well, then the focus at SpaceX appeared to shift. And the evidence over the next few weeks after that flight was, well, maybe they won't do that. Maybe they'll do the first orbital flight. And now it appears that's almost certain. I've got a link up on Behind the Black of a story giving us an update of what's going on in Boca Chica. And it looks at all levels as if they have shifted their focus entirely to preparing for the first orbital flight of Starship. And it won't be a full orbit. It'll be near orbit. It'll go up in Texas and land near Hawaii. But it's essentially an orbital flight. They will be flying the Starship on top of a Super Heavy, so it'll be the full rocket. And they'll have a stage separation, you know, and the Super Heavy will come back and land close to Boca Chica in the ocean. And then Starship will land in the ocean near Hawaii. In both cases, they landed in the ocean for safety reasons, because this is the first time they're doing it. That's their flight plan. What's clearly showing that they're aiming for that first and foremost is that almost no work is going on now on any of those hop versions of Starship. Prototype 15 is not going to fly again. It's on a display stand. It's probably going to be put up as a ornament in their lawn to show what they have achieved. And the prototype 16, 17, 18, and 19 that were also for suborbital hops, short hops, they've all basically abandoned. They've jumped straight to prototype 20, which they've always said was going to be the first to fly in orbit. And that's the one they're focusing on right now. They're starting to disassemble the earlier ones. They're also assembling Super Heavy, the first flight model, and they are focusing almost all construction at Boca Chica on the orbital launch site. You got to understand that those short hops did not take place on a real orbital launch pad, and they're building a real orbital launch pad for this. This is going to require a very high tower next to a Super Heavy, and when they're stacked on top of each other, it's extremely tall, like something a little taller than the Saturn V, and so you've got to be able to reach Starship at the very top, and so they're building a big tower, and they're building the concrete base where they can, use water suppression. They're going to need the lightning poles to divert lightning rods, and so this is all getting built, and it looks more and more as if this orbital flight will occur before the end of the summer, John. That's quite exciting and amazing.
The U.S. Senate responds to commercial space. What aspect of commercial space? Competition. Bob, the news is the Senate has authorized a second lunar lander contract. This resolves a conflict. They decided not to divide the baby. They decided to spend more money.
Yeah, well, that's all the Congress does today is spend more money. They don't really care. They think it grows on trees, or just that appears out of nowhere. What happened was, to give some history, you know, NASA wanted to award contracts to build a manned lunar lander. This is similar to the LEM that put the Apollo astronauts on the moon. And they issued a request, and they basically had narrowed the choice down to three companies. And the goal NASA had was to pick two different companies to build two different landers, so there'd be competition, keep the cost down. The companies would be on fixed price, and they'd have to commit some of their own investment capital to build these things. And that was the plan. But then Congress would not give NASA the money it said it needed to do that. It gave them only 25% of the capital they needed. And so NASA made the decision they were not going to award two contracts. They'd give only one out. So they gave one out, and they gave it to Starship. For SpaceX's Starship spacecraft, that would be the lunar lander. Well, the other two companies that were bidding, Dynetics and Blue Origin, Jeff Bezos, they have protested the decision. And they've also been doing some lobbying in Congress. And what's happening is the Senate and the House are putting together a new NASA authorization. This is essentially just the Congress's recommendations for what NASA should be doing. And in the Senate, they decided, Maria Cantwell, Democrat in Washington, she decided to add language that would require NASA to award a second contract for a lunar lander. It didn't give her more money originally. So there was some more negotiations, and eventually they changed the amendment slightly and added a $10 billion increase proposed over the next 5 years to pay for this. Now, remember, this is an authorization. It's not an appropriation. So that money doesn't exist yet. But it has passed the Senate. And so if, assuming the House agrees to this language, NASA will be required to award a second contract, I think within 60 days. They don't say who it's going to go to, though I really suspect the lobbying is being done in favor of Jeff Bezos and Blue Origin. But nonetheless, now they'll have to award their contract. But the money to pay for this has not been appropriated. So NASA could be required to issue this second contract, and it will not yet have the additional money. That'll, of course, mean that development will slow down. They'll stretch it out. Now, what impact is it going to have? It's not going to have any impact, I think, on Starship, because SpaceX has got fine of private capital investment money. It's building it entirely with private money right now. So this contract from NASA is just a supplement to build and design the lunar lander version of Starship. So I expect Starship's development to move forward as aggressively as before, even if the money gets slowed down from NASA. What will happen to the second contract is unknown, since we don't know if either Dynetics or Blue Origin will be willing to commit or have private investment capital.
Bob, I like the competition. Competition.
Oh, the competition is all good.
And it makes a race out of it. And they're both going to, whoever gets the second contract is going to have an opportunity to challenge SpaceX's supremacy. And that's a good thing.
Yes. And the real question in my mind is, it's a good thing they'll have that opportunity. The real question in my mind is whether they will use it successfully.
All right. Okay,
and
fine.
So
we'll
far,
see.
We understand
how success works. You get an opportunity to fail as well. So let's go to the failure. China. China's putting a rocket on a launch pad as if it was 1959, and they're boasting about how they can blast off. This is the first manned mission to their station, which is being assembled in space. Bob, there's nothing new here. China not only steals other people's material, but it imitates things that are from the past. I wonder if they're aware that they're living in slow motion, Bob.
Well, that's a very good question, John. Well, just so the audience knows, they have rolled out the Long March 2F rocket that's going to carry three astronauts to the first module of their space station that's in orbit right now. And they're going to stay up there for 3 months. They'll probably do some spacewalks. They have to deploy solar panels, and they got to prepare this station for further assembly coming over the next year and a half. But you're right. Everything they're doing here is imitating what the Soviets did with their Mir station and what the Russians and the Americans did with ISS. It's a government-based space program. And they're trying to partner with Europe and with Russia to build this, kind of imitate ISS.
Sure, sure.
Now, the question I have is, you know, once it gets assembled, will they fly tourists to it? Because the competition is going to kind of force them to do it, John. And that will be kind of fun when that happens.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We've had enough space boosting. We're going space exploring when we come back. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Besh.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Christina Lake Cannabis is using proprietary outdoor genetics to grow and harvest cannabis in Western Canada. And with a 99-acre expansion, production should increase from nearly 72,000 pounds to a harvest capacity of over 194,000 pounds of high-quality, refined cannabis to extract exceptional THC and CBD oils. This cannabis highlight has been brought to you by Christina Lake Cannabis, U.S. trading symbol CLCFF, and in Canada CLC. ChristinaLakeCannabis.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.